chapter, verses 41 through 44. They're in your pew Bibles. If you want to read along, and if you brought your Bibles, you can read in your own Bible. Okay. The widow's offering. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which were worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This morning, I'd like to share with you some wonderful good news and regarding God's blessing, also your generosity. So Hal Miller is our finance chair, and he has some wonderful news to share. Hal?
Thank you. So I'm Hal. If I don't know you, come say hi to me. I'm the chair of finance for this church. And so I would like to just take a few minutes. This is the last of Pastor Lee's sermon series on those paths of discipleship. And the one for this week is a life of generosity. So that's why I'm here today. So this is a text almost everybody knows, the fruit of the Spirit. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. Now, so you should start with the by contrast, right? So by contrast, that Paul has just made a big list of no-nos, right? And those are things that you can write laws about, right? You can write laws about public drunkenness. You can write laws about, you know, all the things in that list. But you can't write any laws about this. This is the act of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. I want to talk just a little bit about generosity, because it's a little different. The good news and bad news about generosity is you can quantify it. You can't ask somebody meaningfully, "How much do you love me?" I mean, love doesn't admit of quantities. You can't ask somebody how much is your joyfulness, right? But you can ask somebody about how much is their generosity, whether it's somebody like the widow who put in everything, and so on. So I would like everything that this church does is based on your generosity. There is no other, we don't have a cell tower like a lot of the churches in New York City to get revenue from Verizon. It all comes from everything we do, the platform that this church is, comes from your generosity and your generosity alone. So I want to tell you, since I'm a numbers guy, how you're doing. Here's how you're doing. Now, don't get all wrapped up about the numbers. I mean, copper coins, whatever it is. But that is a very impressive change in your generosity for this church. It's what makes it possible for us to become fully devoted followers of Christ to bring hope and healing to our community and the world. You know, if it weren't for this platform, this church, most of us wouldn't even know each other, let alone be able to work together to bring hope and healing to our community and to the world. So whether it's Sir in Manassas, whether it's Charlie's Place in Washington, whether it's working with the churches in Haiti, all those things that we are able to do together come from your generosity. So I applaud you in that we're actually getting along on that path. But there's more. If you add in what we call designated giving, that was our number for last year, just a little over $500,000. But you'll notice that in 2008 and 2009, we were able to do more than that. And that's because we decided that it was a bad idea to try to manage with debt for our access And so we paid off. That's when we paid off that loan. So we, I mean, we are here because of the generosity of those past as well as those present today. So I commend you for your generosity. I want to thank you personally for what you've done for this church.
If I have a meeting with other pastors, there are many churches they are struggling. Actually, a lot of churches they are struggling. And I really appreciate you, your prayerful and generous giving. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are going through this season of Lent and the last week of this journey. As we seek to follow you as your disciples, Lord, we looked up and studied and heard your word about a life of worship, hospitality, and also a life open to Jesus, a life obeying Jesus, a life of service. Today, we'll be looking into the area of generosity, giving money. As we think about this topic, Lord, we often get upset and angry. Preachers have no right to say anything about this. It's just between me and God. I agree with those comments, but Lord, I believe you want to see our heart, our gratitude, and also not only just this and that pennies and dollars, but what about our whole life? As we heard through children's message, is Jesus Christ truly the King of my life, everything, the whole of my life, just one day this Sunday, as we sing and shout hosannas, or is he truly the Savior, Lord, and King of me all of our days? Lord, help us that we hear your word and your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. If I may, I want you to listen with patience because I'd like to share with you a little bit of my testimony. And young people, you also listen to this because I'm going to share with you, with God's help, you can have a good education, debt-free, college and graduate school. That's possible. That's part of my testimony. About 3 years ago, the point of this is it's not about me and my family. It's about God and God's faithfulness. You with me? This is about God and God's faithfulness. About 3 years ago, Joshua was first year in college, and Sophia was about to start college, and then my wife was about to start college. So I was having three in colleges. And please don't misunderstand this. Just I want to share with you the facts and some of the numbers so that you can have faith in God. That year, after deduction, this and that, medical and that, we were taking home about $30,000 a year. And that year, as three were in college, I won't say what was that school, but one school, tuition, and those things were $30,000. Just one school. Not three, just one school. And we didn't get other things, but that year we sat down together and prayed together and said, you know, we continue to give God first the tithing portion and even let's increase giving just a little bit. We don't have much room. And we readjusted things like, you know, telephone, newspaper and things. And then with that, we gave God a little bit more. The reason that I was I'm sharing this testimony is this. Our son will be graduating in a few weeks in May from University of Virginia, and my wife finished her college about a year and a half ago, and Sophia is still in school, but my wife finished the school debt-free, and Josh will be finishing college debt-free, and Sophia has no student debt or anything at all. Imagine that out of $30,000 take home, still we pay taxes, and did grocery and other things. Numbers don't add up. Don't. But one thing that I want to share with you is our God is an amazing God. I'm not going to argue with God. Read the God's word and then what God teaches me, and I, with my best, put that into practice, and I teach my children. And we have so many testimonies by which we can say, you know, God is good and faithful. Did I tell you that when I started the graduate school at Vanderbilt, the PhD, it was $30,000. That includes, we didn't have any student debt or loan. And so in all this, I want to share with you, our God is an amazing God, so faithful. God is trustworthy. That's my point. So I know you have some thoughts, you know, he's going to talk about money. When you talk about money, but I want you to think about there's something else and something more that is God and God's faithfulness. This is what I want. Would you look at me? As your pastor, I know this is thing. We all have this choice. Either we live under constant worry and fear. I don't have enough. How can I do this? How can I pay the bills? Under constant worry and fear, we just try to do the best that I can do. The best that I can do. The best that I can manage and compute. Or we trust God and God's ways and begin to experience God providing us with miracles and wonders. So that's actually what I want for us to think about. In your bulletin, you all found, you all have found this chart, Disciples' Path. Disciples' Path. As you can see, we are completing the sermon series, and the last one at the bottom, it's in your bulletin. It says, A Life of Generosity, Exploring. I give some when I attend worship. A beginning, I'm giving more and more regularly, and growing, I'm tithing and reconsidering how I spend the other 90%. And maturing is, I'm tithing and consciously reordering my life to free up more resources to honor God and bless others. Whenever I teach about this topic, some people get upset. You know, he has no right to tell me about this. It's between me and God. I get it, friends. But according to the scripture, according to our tradition, this is actually what we believe as a Methodist. We believe in that God is the creator, redeemer, savior of it all, and God has given his son, not sparing his son, gave us the son forgiveness in eternal life. All our life and blessing have come from God. That's what we believe. So, in acknowledging who God is, we return to God portions of God's blessing. Not only that, we, in our attempt, in our desire to follow God as Christ's disciples, we begin to see not only 10%, what about my whole life? Am I offering my whole life, not just 10%, even forget about that 10%, but my whole life, is it a kind of offering to God? That's the question. Then, this is not necessarily about just money, but this is the issue about how we follow Christ, and this is a discipleship issue. And also whether really Jesus is my Lord and Savior, not just one day, but all the days of my life. What's the point if we just one day sing hosannas and having throwing and big party and then forgetting that this week Jesus Christ gave his life for us, went through that terrible humiliating torture. And so the question is, how are we following Jesus? That's the question. You know, if you're not a believer, just visitor, not a member of the church, let me make you a suggestion. You don't have to listen to today's message. Why don't you just make a cross out of this? That's a good way of spending your time. If you're not a Christian Christ follower, if you're not a member of this church, you don't have to listen. You don't have to do anything. I really believe this. We have this choice, listen as Christ followers and do something about it and begin to experience God's goodness and faithfulness, or just ignore it. You know what? I really believe in this. It's between you and God. It is. And this story was told in during the Passion time. And after that excited procession, what happened? The same crowd, Jesus as king only one day, and then some members of that crowd, they cried out, kill him, kill him, and kill him. Jesus continued his teaching after this procession, and many of his teachings before his crucifixion have to do with money. Why did he have to cleanse the temple? Money related. He talked about tax paying to Caesar, why not? Isn't Pharisees' greed, exploiting widow and those things, and then widow's might. What about after this procession, Judas sold his teacher 30 pieces of silver. Lots of them has to do with how we handle money. Jesus said, where your heart is, your money, that goes together. So with this question, and I want to ask this question, are you following him? Is he your Savior and Lord, even in the way you and I, we view money and how we handle the money? In that, is Jesus your Savior and Lord and King? You following him? That's the question. Well, Christ is about to give up everything for us, isn't he? About to be crucified. And the widow followed the example. And the question is, what are you willing to give up as you follow Christ? In Mark chapter 12, 41 and 44, after this procession, Jesus actually went back and stayed one night, and then the following day he came back. He was sitting at the entrance of the temple. At the entrance of the temple, it was a Passover. That means likely hundreds and thousands of people were ascending to the temple to worship God. And at the entrance of the temple, Jesus is sitting and watching. The scripture says a lot of all wealthy people, pollute, that means a lot, many wealthy people put lots of money in the temple treasury. And then a poor widow came and she dropped two coins, which was equivalent to a penny. Huh. Then here comes very interesting teaching. Jesus, he called his disciples as if something huge happened. He said to them, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. According to historians and scholars, back then about 1 million people, they were in and out of the temple because that's one of the three major Jewish holidays. In fact, every Jewish person was obligated to enter the temple and worship God. That's one of the days. So millions of people were coming in and out, and Jesus, of course, watching them, many and tens and thousands of people putting lots of money. None of that, may I say, millions of dollars, none of them impressed Jesus until this poor widow dropped two pennies. What's going on? And Jesus said, actually, she gave more than all these people given combined. Why? For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. With these three things I'd like to share with you today from this woman's example. First, I see priority. Penny was worth more than several million dollars. No way. Then what was Jesus talking about? Here, I want you to think this with me. No amount of money you and I bring can impress God. No amount of money, whether you bring millions and tens and billions, no amount of money can impress our God. Not the actual dollar amount in matters, but what mattered was the heart behind that one penny, the heart. What heart? The heart that put God first, even in her extreme poverty and urgent need. She needs food the following day, but she put that penny in God's offering. I think that's a priority. What's important to her? I respect Reverend Billy Graham. Is that okay? Billy Graham Evangelical Association, I was reading one article. It says, the deeper question you see is, what has priority in our lives? Is Christ really first? Or do we put ourselves and our own desires first? Make sure Christ is first in your life. Then ask him to guide you. And there is a very famous, he's Roman Catholic, that's okay, but a wonderful priest, and also he's a professor. And he says, commenting on this passage, the widow gave everything she had, even though she was very poor. The wealthy man gave more money, but it very well might have been a smaller percentage of his total income than the widow gave. Also, the man gave to show off his wealth, to feign being religious. This was to show that God, this text, desires a voluntary, cheerful giver rather than one who gives to show off and feign piety. Our heart matters. No amount of money we bring to God that can impress God, no. But if we bring our heart genuine gratitude, and then penny, dollar, it doesn't matter. As long as that is genuine expression of our love of God. Next is proportion. Think about millions of dollars placed and put in the offering plate versus this one penny. What impressed Jesus was that penny. It says, because she, out of her poverty, has put in what? Everything. And next word, all she had. If she had put there, though it was just a penny, everything and all she had to live on, what is that in terms of a percentage? Was it what, 10% or what? 100%. Everything, all, then means 100%. In our giving and handling money, proportionate giving is biblical principle. We can argue and debate about this. That is our Old Testament law versus grace and all that. Oh, Jesus never talked about it. And please check the Gospels. I'll put their references there. Did you know that even before this law was established by Moses on Mount Sinai, in Genesis 14:20, Abraham practiced this, and Jacob practiced this. In Leviticus 27:30, there God says that portion of tithing belongs to God. And that's what I believe, and I'm trying to live by that. Billy Graham again, he can go wrong. Many Christians believe that this principle of giving one-tenth tithing should be carried over to the New Testament in giving to the church and other Christian organizations. Here it is. We have found, Reverend Graham saying, in our home, as have thousands of others, that God's blessing upon nine-tenths when we tithe, it helps go farther than ten-tenths without his blessing. And third principle is planned. As I prepare funerals and weddings, I'm amazed some people the way they planning things ahead. Some couples, they plan year or 2 years ahead of the actual wedding. Graduation, 90th birthday, it was great food yesterday, wonderful. Do you agree with me? Whatever matters to us, whatever important to us, we just don't do it. We plan, don't we? Whatever important, whatever matters, we put priority. We proportionally we assign, but we plant things. When the widow gave that penny, that was all she had to live on. Without that, she didn't know where the food would come the next day. And also, to Jewish people, Passover was one of the three major holidays. She definitely planned it. It was not, oh, it's Sunday. Oh, it's a offering time. I'm going to drop this. No, she planned. People of the Bible practiced the plan giving. Me one more time, Reverend Billy Graham and that association. New Testament teaching on giving, which may be helpful to you, as found in 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, which is Sunday. It is Sunday. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. Percentage, proportionate giving, planned way, putting God first, it's all there. With this, Reverend Billy Graham gives us this wisdom. This passage brings out 4 points we should give individually, regularly, methodically, and proportionally. So with this, let me summarize today's. Giving is all about money. Maybe people who do not know God, salvation through Jesus Christ, but to us Christ followers, this is a discipleship issue. This is one area that affects how we follow Jesus Christ. 10% is important. It matters. But in the eyes of God, the other 90%, how you and I, we are giving and offering, living and using our whole life 100%. How are we allocating and using that matters to God? That reflects whether we follow Jesus Christ or not. So we as Christ followers, we give our share in terms of our priority and proportion and planned way. Some weeks ago, one of you called me and left a message on my machine, and he was so excited. Pastor, I have great blessing from God. I'm so excited, so I have to share this with you. So I listened. This is the story. They are selling their house and buying new house. In that process, they need money. Can you imagine that? They need money in that process. And they need a down payment and also new refrigerator and things. And also I know one of their kids have been in the hospital, emergency room, all that. But he was saying that we need more money. We're kind of really, in that need, the date is coming and all that. And then, Pastor, this morning I opened my bank account, and it was definitely God. God has given this huge commission. Should I tell them one or not? It was a big amount. And as I first heard that amount, I said, oh my, that is a person's 1 year salary. So you guess that. And with that, they were able to no worry about down payment. Just everything is good. Even moving expenses, everything. And this is what really made me so, so thankful to God. That is, then later he said, Pastor, we bought this new house, but we didn't buy this big and huge one. We bought this that we could afford. And also, we want to continue to honor God with our tithing. And also, we don't want to be tied up in a bigger house that will prevent us from giving, like a 30-hour famine, other important mission causes. And I said, you know what? I was so excited. I didn't get the money. I'm not the one who is moving into this new house. But I was so excited and happy because here's a young couple with challenges of life, trusting God, trusting God and obeying God and experiencing God's great blessings. Like the seed fell on good soil that bears 30, 60, and 100 folds. So this is what I'm asking. Would you look at me? Let's have eye-to-eye contact. Friends, as Christ follows, we have choice. We can do things and try our best, working hard, two or three jobs, try to make ends meet, just do, and then worry and afraid, what if? What if? Or read God's word and trust God and follow God's principle, not only 10%, but whole area of your life, so that your whole life can follow Christ. I'm almost done. Coming week, Holy Week, and also Easter Sunday. During the week, as a pastor, I really struggle because of the death of one of church members. I didn't expect, so I felt like my heart was heavy. And then one of our church members' son has been incarcerated. And then critical care and I was thinking, Lord, I need some break here. could I go through this Holy Week a bit smoothly? Then I felt God was speaking to me. You idiot! Your heart is heavy. Your heart is heavy. That's why you have this good news of resurrection. That's what we are going to share this coming Sunday. So would you invite yourself and your friends? Let us pray. Loving God, what can we say? In Romans 8, you said, God, not sparing his only son, who gave up everything for us, will he not give us the things we ask of him? Lord, as we go through this season of Holy Week, Lord, remember your rejection, your suffering, your death, so that we be forgiven, adopted, live as your blessed children. Lord, we have received amazing your grace and love. Help us that we honestly and earnestly look into the areas of wealth and resources, not only just 10%, but may 100% of our whole life, our thoughts, time, resources, everything of us, the entirety of who we are, be acceptable worship and offering to you. May we believe you, and may we experience and live in your abundance and your provision. We ask all this in Jesus' holy name. In the beginning of the world, God created heaven and earth, and God blessed us. However, we turned our back against God, yet our God remained steadfast in God's love and forgiveness. In due time, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Lamb of God who will be slaughtered and give his blood for us. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was about to be arrested and crucified to die for our sins, was having the last meal with his disciples. During the meal, he took the bread, gave thanks to God, and gave to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to God, and said, drink from this cup, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant through my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. So in remembrance of this God's mighty act of salvation for us, we are here to offer ourselves as holy and living sacrifice. Let us pray. Lord, pour upon
as are your Holy Spirit, and also in this gift of bread and wine, as we give and receive, partake in this one cup and one bread, so that all of us may experience your holy presence and love for us, and strengthen us and send us that we can go to the world and share your good news of hope and healing. One day you'll come in clouds with the angels, Lord, and we'll have this meal in your banquet, the heavenly place, forever. Until then, O Lord, we confess and declare that there is no one like our God. All honor, glory, majesty is yours, now and forevermore. Amen.